God's Word this evening from Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is in the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. But every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread is deceit. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Our text is verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of His Word again this evening. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, this evening we continue our series of sermons, What Does It Mean to Be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian mother? We looked at already. What does it mean to be a Christian young person? Who are your companions? And now tonight, what does it mean to be a Christian father? How our homes need strong, spiritual, faithful heads of the home. How the church needs strong, spiritual, and faithful fathers. Why? Perhaps you say, yes, I can understand that a home needs strong, spiritual fathers, but why did I say that the church needs strong, spiritual, faithful fathers? Why? Why must it be our prayer? Why does it do good to have a sermon on it? And the answer is, for exactly the same reason, the church needs these kind of fathers like Christian homes need these kind of fathers, because God is pleased to use the means of parents. God is pleased to draw His elect children out of the lines of our generation. And God uses godly parents and now godly fathers to teach and to direct. We saw that this morning, didn't we? When we looked that there is only one God, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, then in verses 6 and 7 of that chapter, we are to hide these things in our hearts, we are to know them, and then we read there, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And then thou shalt talk to them, and all the different instances are given there day round. God uses marriage, and God uses instruction in the home, not only for us having then children, His children, but also for blessing those children. Do you see yourself, fathers, as God's way of blessing your children? Are you a blessing to them in your home? This text, first of all, gives encouragement to Christian men. It gives the encouragement to these Christian men to be strong, spiritual, faithful fathers. How does it encourage us? Because God makes a promise here. There's a statement that the just man who walketh in his integrity, his children shall be blessed after him. And God is faithful to His promise. What an encouragement for us. But also, this text is important because when and if we have failed to be dutiful in our instruction, failed at times to be a good example, failed our children, failed to be present when we should have been around them to teach or to discipline or to love or to hold or simply to listen to, then may this text convict us of our sin. And convicting our sins, then we confess our sins and we turn. We turn from being faithless and absentee fathers to being obedient and godly and strong spiritual fathers. May we be turned then by the preaching of the Word. May we be turned by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so that we diligently work with our children, so that we are at home with our children in the evenings, so that our eye is upon those children, seeking that they may be blessed by us in our roles, the God-given roles of being strong, spiritual, reliable, faithful fathers. That's why we need to hear from the Word of God regarding what does it mean to be a Christian father. Because the devil, that is Satan, always attacks his church. And what better way than to attack fathers? And by attacking fathers, then attacking the Christian home. Attacking by making fathers lazy in their calling or lethargic in their calling, thinking, well, someone else will do it for me. That's why we hire these Christian teachers in our Christian schools. That's what we have Sunday school for. That's why we have catechism in church. Someone else might do it. Or maybe we've got wrong priorities at times. We're busy. We are so busy with so many things so that we're not taking the time. We're not being present with our family, with our children, to listen to them, to encourage them, to work and to play with them as we ought. Don't get me wrong, fathers. Yes, we are busy making a living for them. Many of you are busy being involved in church work. Others of you are busy in school work, that is, on school boards or different committees. Lots of good work. But all those things, even those good works, working in the church or at school, may not get in the way of Christian fathers being a strong spiritual head of their home for their wife and for their children. Theme. God promises here in His Word that children are blessed in their fathers walking in integrity. Children are blessed in their fathers walking in integrity. So looking at verse 7 then, who is this man that is described in our text? Who is he? What is his walk? And what is the blessing that is given? Who is this man in Proverbs 20 verse 7? Who is the writer referring to? And he's identified there, isn't he, as we read, the just man. So he's not just any man out there who fathers children. He is the just man. And that word just means, another word for it is, the righteous man. That means that he is a believer in Jesus Christ. That means that he is a believing man in the church of Jesus Christ. For as we saw last week, no man is an island, but rather God saves his church. That means he puts us in his church. We're members of that church with all of our diversity. And we are blessed by one another. There is no salvation apart from the church. So what does it mean to be a just man? What does it mean to be a righteous man? Well, as we saw this morning, it is one who is conformable to the law of God. God gives His law, and in that law, we who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ are to live, we are to behave, we are to walk. So to be just, to be righteous means that we are innocent, that we are not guilty of God's law. How is that possible? How is it possible to be a just man? And the answer is, not one person in themselves is just or righteous. Not one person is that in themselves. Rather, we read in Psalm 14 that they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That is the way that every one of us comes into this world. As the psalmist says, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me. Depraved. Guilty. That means, beloved, by nature we are not just or righteous, but guilty, polluted, and corrupted with sin. But this is the gospel. This is the gospel that the church is privileged to preach. God has made a way for a man to be righteous. God has given us His Son, Jesus Christ. And we read in Romans that He was made sin who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the gospel. 1 John 2, verse 1, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins. There is one who is just and righteous in Himself. Jesus, He's called the righteous. And God gave Him the righteous for you and me. And He makes us righteous by making propitiation for us. That means He bears the wrath of God in our place. He took our sins upon Himself. He makes us righteous through His cross. He took God's wrath and curse upon Himself. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4, we read, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, we read, who His own self bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Or again, Peter puts it, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. What a text that is. What a beautiful text. How it ties in with our text. It's talking about the just man. Who is just? Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, Christ is the just one who gave Himself for you and me, who by nature are unjust. What a text. Jesus Christ, the just one, died for us who are the unjust. So in answer to that question, if you're following your outlines, how is one just? How is one righteous? And the answer is by clinging by faith to Jesus Christ. by the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, freely given to us. That's the just man in our text. The man who clings to Jesus Christ, and he clings to Jesus Christ because he is the person who knows that he is a sinner. In Jesus' day, there were many men running around thinking they were the righteous ones. They were the Pharisees who outwardly did things that looked good. But they were not righteous in the inner person. You see, this righteousness that the text is speaking about is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of love for and love in God. Pharisees just went through the motions. But the just man in Proverbs 20, verse 7, is the man who knows in his heart that he is a sinner and knows his need for Jesus Christ and clings to Jesus Christ. We are men and women and children of God's Word. God's Word that tells us that we're sinners. And then if we stand before God and if we stand before His law, our righteousness must be a righteousness not of ourselves, but a righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, freely imputed to us, given to us in such a way that it is as if we ourselves had never committed any sin. That's the way God sees us. So only one possible way to be that just man, that righteous man, possible in Jesus Christ. And that's why I said this just man of Proverbs 20, verse 7, is a man of the church. A part of that body of Jesus Christ that clings to and serves the head of the church knows Jesus as his Savior and his Lord. One more thing. Who is this man of our text? He's a father. He's a father. That's very clear in the text because we read, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So he's a father. He has children. He's a believing father in the church. And now the question, does that describe you? Are you that man in the text? And that answer ought not to be, well, I hope so. And the answer should not be, I try to be that. Faith, not doubting. Do you identify with that man? Do you think his way? Do you live his way? Are you Christ's man? The man who is justified by God through Jesus Christ, through faith, and through faith alone. The just man of Proverbs 20, verse 7. What that will mean then, that will mean then every day you are looking to and you are trusting in and you are clinging to Jesus Christ. It means that you know that you need Jesus Christ every day. It's the only way to be a Christian father. By His Word guiding you and by His Spirit controlling you. Living with Jesus, living for Jesus Christ. The just man. By God. Through Jesus Christ. Made righteous. Declared righteous. Seen by God. as righteous. As God said about Job, "Have you seen my righteous servant Job?" That's who the man is, by grace. Now, according to the text, the just man walketh in his integrity. So here the scripture is using a metaphor for the Christian life. It's talking about a walk, that is one's life, one's conduct. It's a metaphor for the entire life. For we are pilgrims here and strangers in the world. We're walking. We're traveling. Our destination is that city that is made without hands, whose builder and maker is God. And so all of our life is traveling. It is walking that road that leads to heaven by grace. And what is the character of that walk? The character is always contrasted in the book of Proverbs, isn't it? There is the walk of the foolish on the one hand and the walk of the upright. To take one of the definitions of that, we would go to Proverbs chapter 28. And we read in verse 18, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." What our text is saying is that the just man has a calling. The just man in our text has a vocation. Living with his wife. Living with his children. Living in the church. And what does that life then look like? What does that life look at in his work, in his business? How does that life look like? What does it look like in his recreation? What things he does in his hours off from work? What does that life look like when he is out there in the public and others can see him? But what does that life also look at when we're at our homes and no one else sees our conduct or what we're doing? How sad to say, there's quite often a dichotomy between what we appear to be in public and perhaps what monsters we are at home. We have a calling to walk in integrity. Boys and girls, that word integrity means wholeness. That word integrity means godliness. That word integrity means piety. I'm afraid that that is an old word that we don't hear nearly enough. The pious man or woman or child. Piety. Do you desire it? Do you pray for it? That is not only being hearers with our ears, but though we are also doers of the word. We put that word into motion, action. Living according to the word of God. I want you to notice that this is a statement. It's not a suggestion. The author of Proverbs doesn't say, "Now it would be nice if the just man would walk in integrity." He doesn't say the just man should walk in integrity. He didn't say even he ought to. He didn't say it's his calling to. But he says the just man walketh in his integrity. It's a statement. He's a just man, and therefore he walks in integrity. It's like saying, the apple tree has apples on it. The one is the inevitable fruit of the other one. If one is a just man, made righteous in Christ Jesus, the righteousness worked in him, he will inevitably walk in integrity. What a beautiful statement, what a powerful statement. It is saying the Christian life is inevitable for one who is a Christian. It's his calling. It's the fruit that flows out of his relationship with Jesus Christ. It cannot be otherwise. Yes. Yes, there are commands in Scripture to walk this way. At times the Apostle Paul will urge believers to walk this way, walk worthy of the calling that you have been given. And there are those admonitions so that we may be encouraged in that walk. At times we need those commands in order to wake up, just like our children, parents. Our children at times have to be told what to do in order to be encouraged. God does that for us, his children, doesn't he? But right now in our text, it's not an admonition, it is a plain statement. The just man walketh in his integrity, in his uprightness, in his godliness, in his obedience. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that he never falls into sin. Godly men do fall into sin. At times, grievous sins. Scripture is so honest, isn't it? It portrays the saints with all their baggage, with all their sins and shames, doesn't it? Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Shall we talk about a Noah? Shall we talk about an Abraham? Shall we talk about a David? Shall we talk about Peter? Noah. Noah, who was saved from the wickedness of the world by the waters of the flood, Noah gets drunk. And it's sinful to be drunk. We may never get drunk. Because then we lose the ability to behave ourselves according to the Word of God. And Noah surely did lose that ability. So he stark naked. And the kids see his nakedness. So we talk about Abraham, the friend of God. The man who believed God and he left his home in Ur to go to the land that the Lord would show him. And as we said this morning, when it got kind of hot there, there was a famine in the land. What does he do? He forsakes that land and he runs down to Egypt and even lies, leaving his wife open for the adultery of Pharaoh. Except for the grace of God, God stops that. Or shall we talk about a David? A David, a man who had a heart for God, huh? Beautiful man of God. What a believer. And instead of fighting a battle like he should have been, he's up there sneaking peeks at his neighboring wife. And we don't know about her involvement and all that, but we know about David. Committed adultery. And murdered to try to cover it up. He was impenitent for a long time till finally God comes by his prophet Nathan and says, "You're the man." Or Peter. Peter, the man that has a beautiful confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else shall we go?" But when it seemed unpopular, he denies Jesus, denies him three times. I have nothing to do with that man. Yes. True Christians, those who are a new creature in Jesus Christ, can often walk in sin. At the end of the day, which one of us cannot identify with any one of those dear saints? Love the Lord, and yet we sin to one degree or another. Sins of the mind, of the will, of the desires, or actions. Maybe momentary sins that we fall, or perhaps even a long period of a besetting sin. The man of Proverbs 20, verse 7, the man that walketh in integrity is the man whom God by His Word and Spirit shows his sin and turns them away from that sin in sorrow and in repentance. The man dwelt with the Spirit so that he hates his sin and flees from it. The just man walketh in his integrity. The word there that's used there is really in the active sense. He walks. He continually walks in that integrity. Not just once in a while on Sundays or when he's feeling good about it. But every day, every moment, walking in uprightness, in godliness. That's the inevitable fruit of being a just man. Again, a question then forced upon us with this text. Am I right now living in that conscious relationship with Jesus Christ? It's the only way to be this just man walking or who walks in integrity. In a conscious relationship with Jesus Christ. What does that kind of a walk look like? Purity. Faith and love and obedience of God. And we can't do that in ourselves, can we? We can't do that in ourselves. I need Jesus Christ. I need His Word in my heart. To this just man who is a father, God has given him a wife, God has given him his children, and that will govern the way that that father, that Christian man, deals with his wife and deals with his children. They're God's gift to me. They are God's. The wife is God's servant. My children are God's children. That will govern how we deal with them. At the end of the day, when we've realized the different ways we've failed to walk rightly, we confess our sins. Over and over, the day ends and we confess our sins with sorrow and we're forgiven. So the just man who walks in integrity lives in this relationship with Jesus Christ, how he needs Jesus. And he shows itself in his humility. It shows itself in his hatred for sin. It shows itself in his desire, his striving to live in obedience to God's Word. Integrity, completeness, fullness, soundness, perfect and upright in the Lord, spiritually mature, full. That means every part of his life dedicated to the living God and serving God. Entire life. And it will show itself how we conduct ourselves in public, but also in private, in our homes, before our wives and before our children. A heart devoted to God, obeying His commandments. Well, what does that life look like? A just man walking in integrity. If we just look at this chapter, verse 1, that just man who walks in integrity is not going to be a drunkard. He will not abuse alcohol. They're not wise. Alcohol, drinking abundantly of it, becoming drunk is a sin. He will not do that. He is, verse 3, this walk of integrity is a man who isn't quickly angry. He's not one that is given to strife. He doesn't get angry at his co-workers. He doesn't come home tired from work and then take out his being tired on his wife or his children. He's not a person that gets angry if something is out of place in his home. He has himself under control. He ceases from strife. He's a peacemaker with others, with his wife, with his children. He is, verse 4, a person who is diligent in his labor. Every day he works hard in order to provide for his family and provide, also has resources for the kingdom causes. Who is he? He is verse 10 of Proverbs 20 that doesn't cheat in business. He doesn't want to use divers weights, divers measures. He doesn't want to cheat someone else. He is verse 13. Not a person who is lazy or lethargic. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. He's a hard worker. But we'll deal with that in another sermon on what does it mean to be a Christian worker. He is, verse 17 and verse 23, a man who keeps his promises. He's not deceitful. He doesn't make promises and then break them. But no, he keeps his word. He is, verse 19, not a person who goes about like a talebearer stirring up strife, bringing trouble. Who is this just man who walks in integrity? He takes his place in the church and he takes his place in the home. God has given him a wife and children, and he is there for them. This just man who walks as a father in integrity is not an absentee father. And with the term absentee father, I'm not just referring to those men who forsake their spouse or forsake their family. That too. When I talk about absentee father, I'm talking about fathers who are just so busy with so many things that they're not at home. And they're not busy in the life of their children. I know what it is to be like that kind of father. I can think of a time in one of my churches where I should have sat with all young children, and I think I had one Thursday and a couple Fridays each month that I would actually be at home in the evening when the children were home from school. And I should have said, yes, church, there's lots of wonderful and important work that needs to be done, but God has made me a father. And I failed my children, those types. No, this just man who is a father walking in integrity is not an absentee, but he's there for his family. He's there for his wife. He's there for his children. Guiding, directing, teaching, loving, holding, and even playing with his family. There's a blessing. For the Word of God says, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. There's a blessing. There is a blessing for him himself, isn't there? We sang this morning Psalter number 1, based on Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks, that fears Jehovah and walks in his commandments. There is an immediate blessing for the man himself who fears Jehovah and walks in his commandments. But our text isn't talking about that. Our text is talking about his children are blessed after him. And it's not now that he blesses his children, but it is God who blesses him, and it is God who blesses his children by his walk in integrity. How are those children blessed by God? And the answer is his covenant mercies. God has given his children, these children, to that man. He chooses them in the line of generations, and he is pleased to use Christian fathers and Christian mothers for the upbringing of that children, so that they may know, they may be taught diligently the Word of God. Is there any greater blessing possible? Is there any greater legacy that we can leave behind? You can get all kinds of houses and property out there. You can have all kinds of nice possessions and things. You might have an important position in society. What difference does it really make when finally you're lying in a coffin? You can't take any of those things with you. But you can leave something behind. You can leave behind a wife, and you can leave behind children, through the blessing of a godly father who know and love and serve the Lord. What does the Apostle Paul, Apostle John write? 1 John, no greater joy have I than that my children walk in the truth. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Now our text is not a promise that every one of our children head for head are going to be saved. They might have been taught all. It doesn't mean that they're all saved, for we know that the line of election and reprobation cuts right through our homes and our families, doesn't it? And we sympathize, we grieve with terrible grief with those who have a son or a daughter who are rebellious, who forsake the faith, who walk willingly in sin. We grieve with them. But may godly fathers have the knowledge, God has put me in this position to teach diligently, to guide. That's all I can do. I and no one else here can save any person. Only God can save. Only God can save. What is the blessing for the children? They are blessed with the Scriptures. They are blessed with wisdom to take the Scriptures and apply themselves, the Scriptures to themselves. They are blessed so that they, like father and mother, they cling to Jesus Christ, knowing their sins, don't trust themselves, but repent and look at and cling to Jesus Christ. God uses these means, diligent teaching. But there's more. These children are blessed because not only do they have the teaching that comes from the mouth of Father, but they have the godly example that is set. How wonderful when our children see father and mother living peacefully, in harmony with one another as good friends. And that's a blessing because then in that marriage, our children see a small glimpse of the unbreakable bond between Jesus Christ and His church. What a blessing. And what a blessing then that those children know how they are to behave later on in their marriages. That fighting and bickering is not something that is tolerated. It's not okay because, well, that's the way we are. Or because I'm tired. But as Jesus Christ loved and gave Himself to His church, they've seen a Father who has loved and given Himself sacrificially to His wife. And they say, I've seen something. I've seen something about that wonderful relationship that we hear about in church. Christ and His church. And our children are blessed because they have in the experience in that home where the just man walks in his integrity, they have a picture of God and His family. We are His children. Many times Scripture calls us children of God, and God is compared to our Father. Psalm 103. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear Him. What a blessing when our children see a father holding the children on his lap, tenderly teaching the children, when necessary, admonishing and disciplining the children. How wonderful when they have a small glimpse of how God, our Father in heaven, deals with us. What a blessing that is over against this world in which there's so many absentee fathers or fathers that are brutal to their children. And there are some daughters, yes, even daughters of the church that have a hard time of thinking of God as Father because they know and they've seen what their father has done in their home, perhaps to them, abusing them. The just man walks in his integrity, and the children have a glimpse of our Father who loves us and cares for us and desires to be around us. Our children are blessed. What an incentive. What an incentive, isn't it, Christian fathers? What does it mean to be a Christian father? Knowing myself as a sinner, depending upon Jesus Christ, giving myself for my wife and for my children, for their good. What an incentive. What a warning. What a warning if we have been negligent in that. If we haven't been strong spiritual leaders, faithful leaders, may that word then convict us of our sins so that we turn from it. And asking God for His grace, be strong, spiritual, faithful fathers. What blessings that faithful father takes his family to the Word of God daily. What a blessing for the children that father holds them up in their prayers, holding up his wife by name, holding up his children by name. Boys and girls, isn't that wonderful when you go to school and you know that dad is praying for you because you got to take a test? Isn't that wonderful, boys and girls, to know that when maybe you're lonely and you don't have many friends, that dad and mom are praying for you, that God will provide that kind of friend. What a blessing for the children. What a blessing for our children when they see Father who loves His church. And so the children also have instilled them a love for the church of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing for children when they see dad daily, diligently seeking to serve God with his whole life. Then our children learn, that's my calling. Servants of the living God, called to live, to serve for His glory. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Christian fathers. How we pray for Christian fathers. How we pray for Christian marriages. How we pray for those in the congregation that are preparing to become married. We pray, Father, that our homes may be these havens in which children are raised to know and to enjoy a relationship with Christ Jesus. Bless them, our homes, for the glory of God and for the good of His church. Amen. Our closing song is number 278, The Fatherly Love of God. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship Him in fear. Let's sing stanzas 1, 2, 4 and 5. 278. Unto thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.